to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. What I
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And it is the Garden Line. And our host, Mayor Mike Wiggins, requested the Carpenters this morning. So I'm just disowning. I'm just kidding. He requested the Carpenters. So there it is for you, sir. Rainy days and Mondays, apropos. It's a little cloudy today.
A lot of my friends make fun of me because I like the Carpenters, but...
I like the Carpenters.
I do too. But I thought rainy days and Monday mornings always getting me down. But we on the Garden Line.
Correct.
Don't get down because of the rain.
So I need to turn around now and play a little upbeat, you know, be happy song.
Yeah, there you go.
Be young, be foolish, be happy.
Be happy because of the rain, because I don't want to say be alarmist. We were not in a drought situation, but we really did need the rain.
Yes, we did.
And because the root systems of our lawn and plants and all that are still growing and still need water. And that's why, even though we had this rain, and it looks like one of the forecasts I saw, we may get a fair amount of rain at the end of the week. Whatever. Don't cut off your sprinkler system yet.
Okay.
Because you just might need it. So that's kind of where I would go with that. A couple of things we need to do today. I thought it might be fun later in the show, if we have time, to talk about potential, maybe that's the wrong word, talk about Christmas gifts for people, things that you could give to someone who is a gardener.
Oh, I love that idea.
Gardening Christmas gifts.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Absolutely. But what we need to do is start off, though, be sure we talk about, and we have said this the last, oh my goodness, a couple of weeks, the Camellia Show coming up on December 13th at the UWF Conference Center. It's always great. People come from all over the South with blooms to submit, and just some beautiful, beautiful plants. Open to the public from 1 to 4. That's important because in the mornings is when they judge the plants. So when you go in there, you'll see who... One, the best of this, best of show.
Nice.
Oh, absolutely. And our friend Skip Vogelsang is going to be here next week to talk about the Camellia Shows and talk about camellias in general, or just gardening in general. Mm-hmm. He is so good at it. I always told Skip he needed to do an add-on to his house for all the hardware that he has won at these camellias.
A trophy room.
Oh, he's got trophies and plaques. And,
how cool is that? All kinds of stuff
that he's won because, number one, he's just good at it.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. So, in any event, don't miss that. It ought to be a lot of fun, December 13th. But next Tuesday, Skip will be here with us.
Excellent. And just to note on your calendars, that's a Saturday.
That's correct.
December 13th. Not this weekend, but the following weekend.
That is correct. That is correct.
It's
a busy time of year for everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
But if you can... squeeze in, you know, an hour or so to run up to UWF and see that. It really would be fun. I did get an email. I just think we might need to start off with this because I think we all know this if we listen to the Garden Spot.
The Garden Spot.
The Garden Spot is what I did on television for 20 years.
So, okay. That makes sense.
You can forgive me for that.
It's okay.
Anyway, our good friend Daniel Leonard, who is a extension agent, has written a little article called "Tis the Season." Why winter is the best time to plant trees and shrubs.
Oh, okay.
So I thought we might just mention that for just a minute. And he starts off by saying we're getting close to the prime landscaping planting season. He says it's a little counterintuitive to say that the bitter, cold, dreary days are the best days to plant landscape plants as opposed to the warm, sunny days
of
summer.
You wouldn't think so.
No, that's exactly right. And he says one reason for that, of course, is the cold, forced, dormant season, where the top of many of these plants go dormant. The roots are still growing. And if you're going to plant a woody plant, and we'll talk about a few of those in a minute, a woody plant, so many times when you buy them this time of year, they've been grown in this container for the whole season, the whole summer season.
Right.
And you'll find the roots are circling inside the pot.
I've seen that, yeah.
You've seen that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you take it out, a couple of things you can do. One, we'll put on your gloves and just by your hand, just sort of rip those roots so they're exposed. A lot of people say, wait a minute, Mike, you're going to damage the plant. Just not so. I've even seen people take a severely root-bound plant like that, lay it on its side, get a shovel, and just whack it with the shovel to loosen those roots. Because the roots are going to continue to grow in this cool weather, you need to have them loose so they keep growing outwards. If not, what happens is the water won't get into the root system because it's like a mat. Like a mat of roots, and the only water getting in is going to be from the top.
That makes sense.
And that's not enough. That's not enough. Azaleas are, well, to put it bluntly, are the worst about getting root bound like that. That's why you really need to loosen those roots. But anyway, what Daniel did was kind of fun. It's always fun to see what plants people like more than others.
Uh-huh.
And here's one I don't think we've ever on the Garden Line talked about a Nuttall oak.
Probably not. It's not ringing a bell.
It doesn't ring
at least
a bell.
While I've been here.
Exactly. Well,
you've been here longer than
we talk about live oaks.
Right.
You know, but Daniel, he says, no, this one is great. He says it's adapted to all different soils, hot, dry, sun, whatever. It's a big tree.
Hmm.
It's a big tree. It gets, 70 to 80 feet tall. But it kind of has a rounded, upright growth habit as opposed to the kind of outgrowing growth habit of a live oak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He says it's tough, it's wind resistant, pollinator friendly, and its fall color is really, really pretty. So if you're going to be growing some trees, and we're going to have a whole show on trees sooner or later, and you live in the Panhandle, the Nuttall oak is a great one to plant. And so you might want to look into that as opposed to the live oak. The second one he likes is one we like too. That, of course, is the crepe myrtle.
Mm-hmm.
But he says pick the right one.
Oh.
If you want an upright, compact tree, there are two varieties. One is Sioux. One is, as in Native Americans,
mm-hmm.
Sioux and Apalachee. Those are two you might want to consider if you want an upright, compact crepe myrtle. If you want a big crepe myrtle, he says choose Natchez or Muskogee. Then he says, if you want a new dwarf variety, well, if some people want to plant a crepe myrtle, it doesn't get too tall.
Right.
We've talked about that on our show somewhat. Or one with black foliage. Interesting.
I've never seen that. No. Black foliage?
Yeah, he says those are available. Those are some of the newer ones out there.
Interesting.
Also, one other plant that he likes is one that I think is maybe underused, if you will, and that's the oak leaf hydrangea. It grows 6 to 7 feet height, has these foot-long white flowers that are absolutely gorgeous. And here's some varieties. Snow Queen, Sims Beauty, and Alice.
I'd like to know where those names came from,
that's
probably a whole other show.
I bet Sims Beauty is from Sims, Alabama. That's where they do
it. Oh, okay.
That's just my guess.
All right.
Then the last one, we've got to take a break here. I know. Sasanqua camellias. If you walked in the studio today, the Sasanquas in front of our office
so pretty.
Have just gone crazy since last week we were here.
Mm-hmm.
They really are beautiful. And this is one, a Sasanqua is a plant that's been around for over 100 years.
Wow.
And it's just a great plant that is very, very easy to grow, and it gives you that summer color. But going back to his original premise, this is a good time to plant them because of the cold, dreary, rainy weather, which, as he says, was a little bit counterintuitive to people thinking, let's plant them in the spring. So, nice article from Daniel Leonard. By the way, he's from Calhoun County.
Ah, okay.
And he's the guy I called one time and said, look.
Good stuff. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break here from the Garden Line. If you've got a question for Mike about any of what you've just heard from Mr. Leonard or something about gardening now or the holidays, just text it in, 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Welcome back to the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, hosting this show how many years now?
Goodness, I tried to do the math on that the last time we talked, and I think it's been 5-6 years.
At least.
Maybe more than that.
I'm guessing, because you were here when Wendy was here, right?
Exactly. When I first started, Wendy had your chair.
Yeah, I think that was more than, I want to say, that's about 10 years ago, my friend.
You reckon 10 years?
Something like that. All right, I do have a question here that came, or a comment here, said some from one of our listeners. And if you have a comment, you can always text it into the Garden Line at 850-437-1620. Let me see. I planted some camellias last Mother's Day for my wife. One has lost its leaves. The other, the leaves are starting to yellow. What should I do? I bought them at Lowe's, and that's from Joey and Pace.
Well, let's look at the one that's lost its leaves. If that camellia is in the ground or in a container and it's lost all its leaves, I would say it's time to start over. Something along the way happened to that camellia, because that is very unusual for them to lose leaves like that.
Uh-huh.
Now, some of the yellowing on the leaves, generally yellowing on a camellia or an azalea or those type of plants, can be a lack of iron. Lack of iron is called chlorosis. And you can buy some granular iron or some liquid iron and put it on the plant, you know, fertilize it with that, if you will. And that might solve your problem there. Sometimes this time of year, you're just going to see that. So I wouldn't be too worried unless they're all yellow and are falling off. But going back to the one that has no leaves at all, if it's just a stick, then I think I might regroup and get another one. And I think that's a great question, because that opens the door to where do you buy a nice camellia?
That's
a
good
nice
question.
Sasanqua? How about going to the camellia show? Because they will be selling them there, and they are at a reasonable price. They are as healthy as they can be. They're container grown, so all the roots are in that container, and you would do what we just talked about a minute ago. Plant it this time of year, kind of loosen those roots, I think you'll be successful. One other thing about that camellia, they like generally filtered sun.
Oh.
I don't know if I would, if that plant, the one that's lost all its leaves, is in the full blaring sun and maybe didn't get quite the irrigation that some of your other plants got, that might be an explanation for all the leaves falling off. On many plants, when you have leaf drop, that is the plant saying, I've got a problem here, and the leaves drop off, and you get new growth. So on the one that's lost its leaves, you may not want to give up on it too soon, but to me it sounds suspicious.
Okay, very good. Thanks so much, Joey, for sending
that
in.
Great question. Thank you.
And, of course, if you have a question, just text it on in at 850-437-1620, because our expert is here on the Pensacola Expert Panel on the Garden Line every Tuesday at this time, so you don't want to miss out.
Gotcha. Very good. Okay, last week we did talk about the top 10 Christmas plants. And the number one, if you remember, was very obvious. That was Christmas trees.
Right.
And we went through that pretty much in detail last week. We won't do that again. But if you are going to get a Christmas tree, remember the most important thing to do is when you buy it, and so many of the Christmas tree lots will do this for you, put a fresh cut on it, and then take it home and put it in a Christmas tree stand that contains water. Bailey's will do that. They've got the stands with the container. It makes it real easy. But if you don't have a Christmas tree stand and you're taking it home, get a bucket and put that trunk that's got that fresh cut on it. Because if you remember, Meg, one of the experts that we talked about last week says if that fresh cut is not put in water, he said in 30 minutes, sometimes it'll start to seal over and that tree will never absorb the water. So if
that's
that
so, should, see,
if,
I never knew that. That's yeah, so interesting.
But if that happens, if that happens to you, and you just don't have that time to do it before you put your tree in the house, put another fresh cut on it, and put it into the Christmas tree stand that has the water.
Okay.
And go that way, because you really do need it to be a fresh cut so it's absorbed by the tree. Absolutely.
Well, I saw a special last night and thought of you that was on the news, and they did a whole thing about buying live trees. And so they were featuring all the different tree farms all over the Northeast and all over the country.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because most of those are family owned and have been in business for, you know, forever and ever. But they talked about how to go pick a tree, what to look for when you're picking a live tree. And then literally they dig it out of the ground with the roots and everything so that you can replant it. They also had these cute little Merry Christmas gifts of seedlings.
Seedlings of Christmas trees that you can grow your own?
Yes.
Well, that's kind of cool.
And I thought that was talking about cool Christmas gifts. Yeah. I thought that was pretty neat.
Right. I don't mean to be negative, but it might take a while.
Well, they showed people who'd had their that seedling for 10 or 15 years that they planted in front of their houses.
Yeah.
All different kinds, cypress, all the different kinds of trees. And they showed some folks that had done that. And I thought that was really cool.
That is cool. You know, you said cypress. Leland cypress is one we talked about last week, which is one that people in Pensacola, many who want a live tree, put a tree in your house, in your living room, if it's in a container, then you can water it and then plant it outside after Christmas. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was really neat. We've got to take a quick break here, but I just thought I'd mention, I'm thinking about you all the time.
Oh, man, same here.
This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, and we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We're here with Mike Wiggins giving us expert advice on all things gardening. And we have Danette on the line. She's calling in with a question for Mike. Good morning, Danette. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning. Last year I transplanted a holly Sasanqua that I just loved, and I transplanted it, and it died. Dead as a doornail, and I was so sad. Well, I have another small Sasanqua that I really want. I put it in the wrong place and I want to move it, and it is blooming right now, but I wasn't sure when I could move it and transplant it. When's the optimal time?
Well, you know, here's what I would do. If it's blooming now, obviously we talked about the Sasanquas in front of the office here. They're absolutely gorgeous, and they're just blooming all over town. Here's what I would do. I would enjoy the color. It's going to last for, well, let's say, Give it to the first of the year. And then in January or even February, I would move it to where you want it to go. The secret, in my opinion, is moving Sasanquas and camellias. They're not as easy to transplant as, say, an azalea. They have a little deeper root system. So what I would do is kind of dig the hole, the new hole, where you want it to go, get a little peat moss, mix that up with the sand, and then dig it up and immediately move it and just water the devil out of it. That's the secret there. And I think you'll be successful. But just like we kind of started the show today, doing it in colder months, rainy months, is the best time to do it. So enjoy it while you've got all those blossoms on it. When you say, well, I've had it, they're past that, then I would move it. And I bet you'll be successful.
Okay. I know it's the same. Camellias are so hardy. And I have cut some. I live in East Hill, and I live in a house that had some really old growth camellias. And I've cut them down to the ground, and they come back. So they're an amazing plant, and I love camellias and Sasanquas. I will be at the show next week.
Well,
I look forward to it.
Well, that is great. I'll tell you one thing about East Hill, North Hill, those neighborhoods have got some camellias that go back decades and decades. And a lot of folks who will move into those neighborhoods will say, I don't know exactly what I've got.
Right.
When we come back, I'm going to tell you what to do.
Okay. Thanks so much for calling in this morning, Danette. Happy holidays to you. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Yes.
All right.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Okay. We will be back in just a few minutes with the Garden Line. We got a bunch of texts rolling in here, Mike, so we will try to get to those when we get back. So don't go away if you're waiting to hear an answer to a question. We've got you on the Garden Line. We'll take care of you. This is Pep Talk. We'll be back with the Garden Line after the news. Good morning. Happy Tuesday, December 2nd. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with host Mike Wiggins. Got lots of text rolling in here, Mike, so we're going to try to get to them as quick as we can.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. This one's a little tough. This is kind of a tough question, buddy. City is permitting now to clear out Baptist Hospital property. What do you say, Mike?
Wow.
I'm not sure that's a Garden Line that question.
That really isn't a Garden Line. It's more of a political.
That's more of a former Mayor Wiggins question.
More of a political. But let me just say this. Let me just say this.
Okay.
One, I have heard the mayor, D.C. Reeves, speak to this, and I'm very impressed with his involvement and knowledge about where that should go. I do think, and I think this is obvious, that you will get plenty of neighborhood and constituent input on exactly what's going to happen on that property. But I'm going to jump ahead to the new Baptist Hospital.
Oh, yes.
So whenever you go over there, I want you to look at the landscaping.
It's beautiful.
It was done so well. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the plants, so many of them are the plants that we've talked about here on the Garden Line that are going to last.
Mm-hmm.
They're woody, ornamentals, landscaping plants that should be healthy year after year. So I applaud Baptist Hospital for that landscaping. I really do. And a lot of our big, not industries, if you will, but things like Pensacola State College does a wonderful job of landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
UWF, same thing. So many of our businesses really do look at that landscaping because it can really make a difference. In my opinion, I'm in the business, so you know I would say this, on the success of their operation. People want it to look nice.
Right.
They want where they go to look nice and landscaped and that type of thing. So I don't know if that really answers your question, but I will say this. I think the mayor is on top of it, and I think of that along with public input, the right thing will be done.
Well, we've got a text that just came in from Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping, and I think he's got the right idea. He said, we should turn the property into one big large garden.
Let's grow Christmas trees.
That's it. We'll start our own business. I love it.
Exactly. Now, Paul, I'm glad Paul's listening because I want Paul to react to this next text we've got about topsoil.
Okay, this is a good question.
This is a good question.
Okay, where can we get true topsoil and compost in bulk in this area that isn't full of trash, construction debris, or clay? The ECUA compost was full of shredded trash bags! I have a 2,500 square foot garden.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, I'd like to see that.
Oh, no question
pictures.
About it.
Yeah.
For the most part, most homeowners, in my opinion, don't really need bulk compost. Now, this is a big garden.
Obviously, yeah.
This is big. This is different. If you mix up, because we don't have any soil in Pensacola, of course, we have sand, all we've got. So the addition of Canadian sphagnum peat moss, which is organic, which will, if you get that and mix that with the sand, then you will have a relatively good area in which to plant. You plant vegetables, plant landscaping plants. Do it plant by plant if you're landscaping individual Sasanquas, for example, like we talked about a minute ago. But if you've got an area that big, and if the ECUA their products is not what you're looking for, I'm asking Paul at Blue Sky, who does this all the time, where he would suggest someone would get that topsoil or compost. I would think if Paul doesn't know, then I would call Beth Bowles at the Escambia County Extension Service, ask her what they recommend, and because they deal with businesses all the time. She should know where to send our person who sent
that's
the
a great
text.
Idea.
So those two, we're going to ask Paul to
He just texted.
What did he say?
He says, try Werner Turf on Creighton.
Okay, very good.
Okay, so try that one for the topsoil.
Werner Turf is, of course, the place we go for sod. They still sod all over our region, and a lot of chemicals, if you will, a lot of stones, paving stone pavers, if you will. So That's a great idea. Paul, thanks. Appreciate that.
Okay, and we've got another question on the text line. If you have a question for Mike, 850-437-1620. This time of year, I always go to my favorite Satsuma Farms in Fairhope, but found out they were devastated by the snowstorm this year, losing all their trees. Do you happen to know of any citrus farms nearby? This is from Johnny.
Let me tell you who I would talk to. I would talk to Pensacola Seed and Garden. I would talk to Larry, and I would go right to Larry. He's the owner, and ask him what his citrus situation is going to be this year. If they lost a bunch of trees due to the cold, then some of the other growers may have too. But Larry has contacts everywhere, and he would be able to tell you what is available insofar as citrus, because there's a whole host of citrus plants that you can plant. And when he's going to have them, and what the situation is there. I always look at citrus at a kind of a benchmark of 20 degrees. We go below 20, you're really going to have some damage on your citrus. But, of course, the rule is, if you do, don't prune it back. Don't say, I'm going to go out there right after the cold and whack it back.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it go. Just leave it alone. And eventually what you can do is scratch that bark. And where you scratch, if it's green, it's alive. And it may come back.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, don't rush into pruning what you might think is dead, and it really might not be, following a below 20 degree cold.
Right.
Or really in the 20s period.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't get out there and prune too fast.
Okay, great advice. You're so knowledgeable about all these things.
Oh, man.
You really are.
Yeah, we've talked about that one a lot.
It's wonderful. And the person who asked the question about the compost, that was Susan. I didn't realize that was you, Susan. And she says, thank you so much. Gosh, I love this show with a big heart.
Oh, Susan, thank
so
you very
sweet.
Much.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Let's see. Now we got another question coming in here, and I'm wondering if we have enough. We may not have enough time for this one. We're going to have to save this one for right after the break. And in the meantime, does it help to put with the citrus trees to put coverings over it when you know a frost is coming?
Oh, no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy, I think at Werner's, you could probably buy, or from Larry at Pensacola Seed, frost cloths that are manufactured just for that.
Uh-huh.
Or a blanket. I wouldn't put plastic over it. I'd put a blanket over it.
I see people putting tarps sometimes. Is that not good?
Well,
it's kind of plasticky.
Plastic. I would avoid that. I'd put more like a blanket or some sheets, mm-hmm. if you will. But remember what we said last time, how you don't want to do it? If you put the sheet over it and you tie it up on the trunk, that's called the lollipop way.
Right.
But you don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get that sheet or blanket, put it over the citrus, if it's small enough to do this. Let it go all the way to the ground, anchor it with bricks so the wind doesn't blow it off.
Right.
Because there is heat that's going to come up from the turf, which will get in that enclosure, which might help protect that plant.
Okay. So I just heard in the weather report it might go down to 39 tonight. Is that a time to start doing that?
I think 39 is marginal. I don't think you're going to have trouble at 39.
Okay.
But this is Pensacola. Our weather is so unpredictable.
So
they may forecast it's 39. They may also say, "Oops,
right.
It went down to 29."
No offense, Alan.
Sorry, Alan. I know Alan would always get it right. But the point is, you don't want to take a lot of chances. But I don't think you'll need to protect at 39.
Okay.
Now, if you live, let's back up a bit.
If you live up north,
you live in Molino.
Mm-hmm.
You live up in the northern part of the county, it's a different ball game up there. Your temperature is going to be much lower than the forecast temperature for the city.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of pay attention to your local weather up there.
I have to say, I love that we just called Molino up north. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break.
Not fair.
We'll take a quick break and study our geography. This is the Garden Line. We'll be back. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with our host, Mike Wiggins. Lots of texts rolling in this morning, Mike. Paul had a comment about water is really good a few days ahead of a heavy freeze.
No question about that. Paul's absolutely right. I even like to water heavily after the freeze when we're back into the high 40s and 50s,
mm-hmm.
after the freeze. But before the freeze is important. But what you don't want to do is do like the citrus growers do down in South Florida. is do all that overhead watering.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks like, oh, that's easy to do. I can put my sprinkler and keep it going all night long. You don't want to do that. They are very high-tech down there. They know exactly how much water, when to do it, when not to do it. So Paul is right. Just get out there and water your plants regular day or so before the freeze.
Okay, that's Johnny important. Just texted in a comment on all of this. He said, I found a good help for my personal citrus trees, and others is to use moving blankets from a local tool store. They are real thick and cheap. I wrap the trunk several layers with bungee cords, and they survived.
Let me tell you, that's a great
idea.
Those moving blankets are great.
Yeah, exactly what he's talking about.
Some of those blue ones. I have a blue one that I get.
Yeah, that's perfect.
That's exactly right. That's a great, great
Yeah, thanks, Johnny. That's a good idea.
We appreciate that.
So stock up on those now.
Okay.
All right, got another question this morning.
Yeah, man.
Okay, I live off the bay and have brackish water in my property. I'm having a lot of trouble keeping grass, especially, but also the landscaping alive. Do you have any suggestions for plants or grass types that are tolerant to the saltier water that we end up with in our ground?
Well, that's probably true for
a lot of people.
Well, and it's not just brackish water, which of course salty too,
right?
But I'll never forget, after Ivan, the folks that lived on the Sound in Gulf Breeze,
right,
obviously had water all the way up in their yard.
Mm-hmm.
The St. Augustine lawns did better than the other ones. Centipede kind of got hurt with all that salt water. I wouldn't think Zoysia would do as well as the St. Augustine with all that salt, but yeah, that's what you need to do. Insofar as plants are concerned, some of your very basic plants like Ligustrum, Clearia japonica, Pittosporum, those type of plants will put up with some salt. Of course, if you have intrusion with that salt, watering is important also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if heaven forbid, we had a hurricane again, not even like Ivan, but where you had any salt water or brackish water getting on your plants, watering, getting all that out of the system is the best way to handle that. But I think some of those basic landscape plants, using St. Augustine for your grass, is the best way to do it.
And what are the names of some of those plants again?
Clearia japonica is one of my favorites. Ligustrum is good. I have a good friend that lives on Sabine Bay, has some beautiful Pittosporum. Pittosporum can be green or it can be variegated, but it's a great plant, and he has obviously a lot of salt intrusion there, and his have grown great.
I love it when you talk plants.
Pittosporum?
All of the above.
Can you spell it?
No, I cannot. Like, you went through about four of them. He's so second nature to you. You know all of these things. It's amazing.
I got you.
So helpful. So helpful. Okay, so you hinted that we'd be talking a little bit about some Christmas gift ideas.
Well, I've got one. I've got a question for our audience. Somebody out there will know this. We talked last week about the waxed amaryllis.
Ah.
Remember that? Where the amaryllis has been grown, they've cut the roots off, and they've put this wax, it's planted in a wax covering, if you will, where you would normally plant it. This is the plant that you're going to love, Meg, because we talked about this last week. It's the easiest plant you'll ever have.
Okay.
Because you know how you take care of it? You know what you do to take care of it? Nothing.
That plant that has my name on it.
Exactly. And these have only been around, in my opinion, because I've never seen them, for the last couple of years. And you just take it, you put it into a sunny window, and for 3 to 4 weeks, four to five, you're going to start getting the stalks come up.
Oh, nice.
And a beautiful tulip bloom of the amaryllis. And it is nothing to it.
Huh.
One of the great Christmas gifts ever, in my opinion. Because, you know, somebody might want to just put it in their kitchen window.
Right.
And during the holidays, it's gonna bloom. Probably need to do it pretty soon. My question to the audience is, where can we find those?
Oh.
I've seen them online, but I would much prefer to buy them local.
Okay.
I really would. Because some of them are, the wax is red, and it's got little Christmas decorations on it.
Yeah.
But this is the easiest plant you'll ever want to grow. That's the good news. The bad news is for the most part, once it's bloomed in that wax, you're probably just not going to do anything else. I've read somewhere where somebody had this idea he was going to plant them, and he said it worked. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's kind of a one-time shot. But it is a it'll be beautiful. And so I just would love to know where I can find them, if anybody listening might know that.
Okay. Well, Paul just chimed in and said, fun fact, there are actually a number of amaryllis that are native to Florida.
Absolutely.
So that's great.
They're also native to South Africa, believe it or not.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's where some of the old, I say the old, but some of the real large amaryllis come from.
Oh, Paul just chimed in again and said, we need to just have him come on the show.
Well, he's been on the show before.
I know.
He's a superstar. He's
so,
are you kidding?
It's so knowledgeable. He's great. He says, good bulb shop for southern bulbs is southernbulbs.com. And he says, I think Lowe's may have some wax seed amaryllis.
Okay, that's good to know.
Okay.
Very good.
We got to take a break.
Oh, man.
I know, it's just flying by this morning. We've still got to try to do our best to get to all of your texts, so hang in there. This is Pep Talk in the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins.
There you go.
This is the Garden Line, and we're going to try to get this last text in before we have to go. Oh, Mike's right here.
Well, I'm just going to say, this next one you're going to read, we have some great listeners on this show.
I know.
Who have some of the most innovative ways to garden.
Okay.
And many times, we've done this show for years.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we say, we've heard it all. We have not heard it all. Okay, go.
All right, here we go.
Meg. Read that one. An interesting one.
Another way to save citrus during a freeze, I found, is to wrap the smaller trees in a sleeping bag, if you have one, in place for 5-gallon bucket filled with boiling water underneath the sleeping bag next to the tree. The water was cool, but since it's under the sleeping bag, it will keep it nice and toasty.
That's
brilliant.
Fascinating.
That's really
it's so interesting. What I wish they would do, I would love, if we have a cold snap,
yes,
the person that sent us that text, I would love to see a picture of how they've arranged the sleeping bag and the water. I'm assuming they kind of wrapped the trunk, you reckon?
And yeah, it's kind of hard to tell from the
sleeping
exploration.
Bag,
yeah.
And then put the water at the base of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to see a picture of that. That is interesting.
Yeah, very smart.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we say, you know, it's gardening is a little bit like baking a cake. Everybody does it different.
Right.
But the end result is usually very, very positive.
You know, now that you say that, my sister was the same kind of cook as she was gardener, because I would ask her for a recipe and she always left a little something out. And then I'd say, how did you get that to grow so beautifully? Oh, you know, just this and that. And then later, oh, I didn't tell you about that. No, you did not.
Exactly. Okay, I do want to end the show on one thing, because
I was
going to talk about this, and I don't have time to get into details. But if you have a Christmas cactus,
oh,
and you've
yes.
got it in a pot,
mm-hmm.
and it's already, I bet you've seen buds on it already.
Mm-hmm.
Be so careful about keeping your watering almost to a minimum.
Oh, really?
But you know, just a little bit, but not. You got to keep it constant. And you don't, if you bring it inside, get it back outside as soon as you can, because the fluctuation in temperature sometimes will cause what we call blossom drop.
Oh.
And after you've nurtured that Christmas cactus all year,
mm-hmm.
the last thing you want is all those buds to drop.
Right.
So be consistent with your care.
But don't water too much.
Don't water too much.
Okay. It's been a fabulous show. Great text today. And y'all are just amazing listeners.
Thank y'all so much.
We love you, and we're glad you're here with us. So we will be back this time on Tuesday every week, as well as on Saturday mornings.
Right. And we've got Skip Vogelsang with the Kamea Club coming next week.
That's going to be so much fun.
Always fun.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Wiggins.
Thank
and
you,
this
Meg.
Is Pep Talk.